Friday. From the Bob and Sherry studios on this fabulous Friday, it's Bob and Sherry.
Oh, I am so excited for this show today. And not just because it's Friday, but because a People's Movie Critic is reviewing Dune 2. And the early buzz on it is like, you cannot possibly see this on a big enough screen, that it is just absolutely astounding. But I'm holding back my judgment until I hear what Lamar thinks. Yeah, because even though I am a giant Dune nerd, from the book to the first movie they made to the last one with Timothée Chalamet, I will wait and see what the People's Movie Critic has to say. Now, let's talk tech news, because I can tell from posts on that I've read on Facebook, Threads, and Instagram that a whole lot of people thought that when Facebook went down, when all the Meta platforms went down, that's Facebook, Instagram, and Messenger, that it was them. They didn't realize that it was a worldwide outage. Max was like, I'm having problems with Facebook today. And I saw a bunch of people later in the day that went, what? I couldn't get into my Facebook today. Here's what you didn't know. It was worldwide. It started at about 10 a.m. Eastern. And Mark Zuckerberg, they, you know, Facebook, Meta, all of those platforms, they make their money from ads. In 2 hours, Facebook and Instagram and Messenger were down for 2 hours. Facebook lost $100 million in those 2 hours.
Is that not amazing?
I just wanted to mention that in case you were wondering, like, how's Mark Zuckerberg managing with inflation, you know, and the cost of groceries and stuff? He's doing just fine. He's doing just fine. So, yeah, a worldwide outage. And Facebook and Instagram and Messenger weren't the only things that went down. There's a website, and I'm very familiar with this website because my internet goes down all the time. Thank you, Spectrum. Looking at you. Called Down Detector. That's the website, downdetector.com. And it tracks power outages for everything from T-Mobile and AT&T to Facebook and Instagram. And it was shocking how many things went down for those 2 hours. It wasn't just the Meta products, but the amount that they lost. So in 2 hours, they lost about $100 million. But don't worry, it's not going to hurt them too much, because they pulled in $134 billion last year.
Have you seen his house in Hawaii?
I've seen drone shots of his bunker that he's building.
Yeah, he's been a bunker there.
He's got a big bunker. And the whole idea, evidently the very rich are doing this now. His is in Hawaii. Beautiful piece of property, fantastic, very modern looking structure, enormous. And underneath, a bunker. So if the worst happens, he's going to survive, at least for a while.
That is a thing now among the tech elite and the billionaire class.
Yeah. It is.
Building these enormous bunkers. And I can't even really talk about this because I can feel he's not even in the room and I can feel my husband's eyes rolling. Because he's like, oh, my woman, not everything's a conspiracy. No, not everything is a conspiracy. But isn't it interesting that we have the Svalbard seed vault in the Arctic and all these billionaires building bunkers, and the rest of us are like, please, sir, can I have some more? As we get ground into dust by the cost of everything, our inability to afford housing, and our health insurance going through the roof. But by all means, Mark Zuckerberg, please enjoy your Hawaiian hell bunker. Now, I have other tech news that does affect all of us, and that is, Target is launching a paid membership program kind of similar to Amazon Prime. And if you're wondering, the heck, who would buy a paid Target membership? It's called Target Circle 360. And for your money, you can get like same day delivery on, you'll get a discount. It's $99 per year. Although if you sign up right freaking now, it'll be $49 for you. And if you have a Target credit card, it'll stay $49. unlimited free same-day delivery for orders over $35 in as little time as 1 hour. No delivery fees, free two-day shipping, and a handful of other perks. What do you think? Is this going to work for Target? Would you pay for it?
So.
Are they too late to the game? What do you think?
I think some people will. There are some people that are just such Target aficionados. They just love the store. And I get it. I was there. I took a relative out who needed some bedding, and I took him there. And it's a pleasant store to be in. You know, it seems bright and cheerful. It seems very clean. I think they're going to get away with it. Whoever's running the management there, you know, Bed Bath & Beyond went bye-bye. Target seems to be thriving.
It's going to be fun to see how many people hit the hip for that Target membership. And the other thing that's going to be fun, how many people will dump their Amazon Prime and go with Target just because
this keeps going up and up and up.
Yeah, just because they're tired of Jeff Bezos and his Lex Luthor villainy. Yeah. You know, will they dump Amazon Prime and go to Target? What a time to be alive, everybody. I'm so glad the billionaires are going to be safe, though. Thank goodness. Because when I imagine the future of humanity, oh, please, God, let it look like Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk. What? It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
If you were just joining us, Sherry was talking about how billionaires are building bunkers in places like Hawaii. Zuckerberg has one there. And there are several other really wealthy people that are doing that. And it seems so selfish. And I was thinking about that. And I thought, you know, you talk a good game, but if you were an evil dictator, would you really try to be better, or would it be so hypnotic that you would do what other evil dictators have done? And I'm talking about Vladimir Putin, the ruler of Russia. Vladimir Putin, just listen. He tells his people that in Moscow, he lives in a small two-bedroom apartment. It's nice, and it has a garage, and that's where he lives. In truth, Vladimir Putin has 20 residences around Russia. He's got one that's on the Black Sea that has been built at a cost of $1 billion for his getaway. This is his getaway place. Beautiful view of the beautiful Black Sea, $1 billion. I would never do that. That's, oh my God, just what to run that place. I couldn't sleep at night just throwing money away like that. But this one, Putin has a house that is 20 miles from Norway, the border of Norway. He can actually see Norway in some parts of the property. And there's a little ravine, and about 1,000 yards across the ravine is this magnificent waterfall. And it's a public park for the people who live in that part of Russia near the border of Norway. And they go hiking there, and they go picnicking there, and they have, you know, photo opportunities with this gorgeous waterfall. Putin threw them all out and took that property. And the shot, it's a drone shot, is of the waterfall, the ravine, Putin's field that leads up to the waterfall, and a enclosed sitting area for outdoor viewing of the waterfall. And I have to admit, if I were an evil dictator, I could see myself sitting in that enclosure and looking at my private waterfall. And I don't want anybody else to be there. I don't want a bunch of yahoos jumping up and down. I want my own waterfall to look at if I were an evil dictator.
I just can't, I can't even like put myself there. I can't imagine.
I'm being facetious, but that's what he has.
Acting the way these people do, you know?
I know. You throw out your countrymen from their own national park so you can sit on a couch with your mistress or your wife or whoever, and look at the waterfall. Now, I admit that's very appealing for Mary and I to be there with a glass of wine and looking at the waterfall and hearing the sound. But holy cow, you talk about evil. That, and we're not even talking about what he did in with, you know, with the war in Ukraine and all. Just an absolute monster of a person.
I think I think first of all that he suffers from malignant narcissism. Like, that would be the clinical label.
Oh yeah.
But I also think it's entirely possible that he's an empty skin suit. That he was not ensouled at birth. There's not a human soul inside that bag of skin.
I may agree with you.
And I don't know. I mean, I don't know what else to say. There are people who are high profile people, and you look at them and go, I do not agree with these decisions you've made, but I can sort of see how you got there because, mm-hmm. you know, power corrupts and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah. I think that's not what we're looking at with this dude. You have to remember that he was a KGB guy, and he wasn't like a great superstar in the KGB, but he had something that other people don't, and that is an utter and total lack of conscience. And it is amazing how many things you can get done in a day when you are devoid of conscience or empathy. I mean, you can really chew through your to-do list when you don't have anything for any other human being. The fact that he's hogging the waterfall is one of the least of the unbelievable things he's done. But I can assure you, he never stops for 1 second to think about how that's his waterfall and nobody else's. You know why? Because he doesn't think about all the other people.
No, like, he doesn't.
That's not even anymore, that's not even right.
Yeah.
You're right.
When was the last time you sat in your chair and gave a lot of thought to all the ants in your backyard?
Yeah.
Don't lie, because you haven't. You never have.
Right.
And that's how he is with other human beings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's exactly
TGIF, everybody. Morons in the News is next. So we got Morons in the News next. We have the People's Movie Critic with Dune 2. We have the hilarious identical twin comics, the Lucas Brothers. We have a really shocking story coming out of the world of science. And who knows? Maybe we'll tell you all about gum disease. Anything could happen here on the Bob and Sherry Show. This is Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Bob and Sherry.
You see, that's all I could come up with because I'm an idiot.
With Morons in the News.
Hey, do you all remember the ice bucket challenge a few years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? It was it was all over the internet. You take a bucket of ice and dump it on your head and you see the reaction. And people were raising money. And then it started spreading. And once TikTok got around to picking up stuff like that, it became more and more bizarre. And of course, the main focus of about 50% of the planet is to be noticed. And so people will do anything to get followers on social media. And it's getting really, really stupid. Glassboro, New Jersey. Police in South Jersey are trying to find a man at the center of an apparent social media stunt. Glassboro police shared pictures of the man who, they say, walked into the Heritage store, which is a convenience store, and dunked his head into a large bin of pickles. The store then had to remove the pickles for sanitary reasons. Police say he was recording himself as he did it, making them believe that it was a social media attention deal. It did get attention from investigators, and they are hoping to track him down, and they give out the phone number to call if you know this guy. That is really, really stupid. I guess if it popped up on my feed, I would look at it for sure. But, you know, I don't know how much those pickles cost, but they're not free. And now they have to throw them away.
Well, it's pickle brine, so it should have killed the germs. But
it's sanitary. Yeah. No,
I guess. I guess.
Cara Gagnardi and her husband were out enjoying a date night dinner, having a great time. They got an alert from the home security system that there's something going on at their house. Well, they thought, okay, maybe it's the dogs that set off a sensor. But then they saw on the video something that sent a chill down their spines. They watched in horror as their security camera showed a stranger kick down their back door and start rummaging through their stuff. Bizarrely, the man then hopped into the shower for a quick scrub down. The couple frantically called 911. They were afraid about the dogs because they were home by themselves. They didn't want nothing to happen to the dogs. When law enforcement arrived at their home, they found the man, identified as Samuel Smith, sitting on the couch, having nothing on but a towel around his waist. He was then arrested by police. He's charged with aggravated criminal trespass and possession of meth, of course. He was naked, sitting on our couch, Kerrigan said. You don't just violate people like that. It doesn't matter what kind of psychosis you're in. It doesn't matter what kind of drugs you're on. You don't break into people's houses and violate them in that way. Nardis explained that they have now disinfected the rooms that the man entered, thrown away the towel he used, and bleached their shower following the break-in. As he was taking a shower in my home, he left some stuff behind. She said, he decided that that would be a nice present for the homeowners, I guess. Hey, this is Goldilocks with a really bizarre twist. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, just pause for a moment and just think of walking into your house and there's some big dude sitting on your sofa that you watch The Golden Bachelor on naked. Mm. How disturbing would that be?
You know, and you can tell he's not a real nudist because he doesn't have a little towel. He's just sitting on your couch.
Yeah, he's not playing volleyball. Yeah.
All right, let's go to today's moron of the day. Now, we want to get this information out in case you're within an easy drive of St. Louis, because the City Museum there is hoping to gather 314 people on March 14th, which is a holiday celebrating the 314 area code. They're going to have a Guinness Book of World Records judge there, and they said they will provide participants underwear to put on their heads so that they can break the world record for the largest crowd of people wearing underpants on their heads.
I want to bring my
say,
own. I don't
and they say, we're an empire in decline. I say no.
When you couple that with the guy that put his head in a pickle jar, I kind of wonder if we are.
We are the greatest nation on earth. So if you would like to be in the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest crowd of people with underpants on their head, we're going to post this up on our Facebook so you can get all the details. Do not move, because it's People's Movie Critic Day, because it's Friday, and he is reviewing Dune 2. Plus, we have the hilarious identical twin comedians, the Lucas Brothers, coming up. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, Oddcast, Fun Size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Okay, we're going to shout out Kenosha County, Wisconsin. A 450-pound hog named Kevin Bacon got out of his pen and headed down the road. And he got captured and brought safely back home because he showed up on the Mulgard family's security camera. Jake Mulgard said, my wife spotted this unusual shaped figure on our driveway camera walking along the garage, by the garage, and then coming right to the back door. Well, they were a little frightened until they got a closer look and realized that standing at their back door was a 450-pound hog. Jake Mulgard said, my wife started feeding him right away. That's what she does anytime an animal comes to our backyard. After they fed Kevin Bacon some apples, tomatoes, carrots, and rice cakes, which honestly, the only living thing that enjoys a rice cake is a 450-pound escaped hog named Kevin Bacon. They then tried to figure out, where did this enormous hog come from? Because clearly the pig was very, very friendly and liked people and enjoyed having his little head scratched. Well, I guess it's a big head. Kevin Bacon, the owner, his owner was out of town. So they said, hey, is there any way you could lure him back to his pen? He likes marshmallows and sweets. He's got kind of a sweet tooth. They called 911 and the sheriff came and worked as an escort. And they gently and carefully lured Kevin Bacon back down the road with marshmallows and cookies. It was a mile and 2.5 hours before, along with the sheriff of Kenosha County, they were able to get Kevin Bacon back into his pen. Mrs. Mulgard said, he's massive, but he's a gentle giant. We go over there every day and give him a dozen donuts. round of applause for the good people of Wisconsin. What a story.
Nicely done.
Yes.
This is Bob and Sherry.
The People's Movie Critic Review on Bob and Sherry is sponsored by Tide. Washing your clothes with Tide on cold cleans great and provides savings for your wallet and the environment.
It is time now for the People's Movie Critic and his review of Dune 2. Take it away, Lamar.
This movie comes nearly 2.5 years after the first one because of the Hollywood strike. It slowed everything down. But I got to be honest, it is well worth the wait. The closest thing to what director Denis Villeneuve is trying to accomplish right here is what Peter Jackson did with The Lord of the Rings. It's that epic. Like Jackson, Villeneuve refused to try to put this story in just one movie. It would be impossible. They've already tried that before, and it just doesn't work. You have to leave out too much stuff. He's pushing for a third movie, but if, for whatever reason, that doesn't get made, this movie still works. You still walk out. You're good to go, but make no mistake. If allowed, the third one will easily pick up where this one leaves off. Now, the movie starts with Paul Atreides, played by Timothy Chalamet, and his pregnant mother, Jessica, who's played by Rebecca Ferguson, looking to stay with the Freeman after the House of Atreides has been destroyed by the House Harkonnen. Paul has to prove he's not a spy by fighting beside them, the Freeman, and learning their ways. And when Chani, played by Zendaya, helps him learn how to survive the desert, they wind up falling in love. Stilgar, who's played by a perfect Javier Bardem, not only trusts him, but he is convinced that Paul is the Messiah sent to lead the Freeman to victory. Now, Paul fights that idea, but as the movie keeps going, he starts to see where that might be just the thing to bring everybody together and to accomplish their goal. Now, to say this movie has a star-studded cast would be the understatement of the year. Stellan Skarsgård, Josh Brolin, Dave Bautista, all of those are back. New to the story is Austin Butler. He plays Feed Rotha. He's Baron Harkonnen's younger nephew, and he's going to be the successor. Seeing him in this role, you could never imagine him being Elvis. It's just impossible to put the two together. He does a great job. Also new is Florence Pugh. She plays Princess Eleon, and she's the daughter of the Emperor of the Universe, who is played by Christopher Walken. The Emperor is behind the killing of Paul's father. The movie is 2 hours and 46 extraordinary minutes. It's rated PG-13 for strong violence, some suggestive material, and a little bit of language. This is a spectacle of huge proportions that exceeds the first movie. The fight scenes and the battles, they're sometimes fast and violent up close, sometimes poetic in slow motion, and other times, unless you have a room dedicated to viewing with a huge screen as big as the wall, and you've got an incredible sound system, go to the theater. Spend the money. Better yet, and I wish I had, go to an IMAX. The cinematography is breathtaking. It's beautiful. The desert scenes are unbelievable. And those are filmed. Some of the places they were filmed were Wadi Araba, Jordan, and the Liwa Oasis. It's a four-hour drive from Dubai. That's just to name a few. They did a lot of filming in different places. This movie is not meant to be merely watched, but to be experienced. And I got to say, just watching these people riding these gigantic sandworms like a city bus is unbelievable. Now, Duke Paul Atreides goes through a huge transformation as he struggles with accepting his destiny. And Chalamet, I swear, he manages to pull that. I mean, he pulls every bit of that out. You feel everything. He may have a hard time topping his performance, but if he can, I don't want to miss whatever he does. Listen, see Dune before this. See the first one. If you haven't seen the first one, you're going to be lost. Or read the book. Honestly, I saw the first Dune, and I still wish I'd have read the book. My score on this is 5. Ice cold Budweiser's. This thing is awesome. Do not miss this, and do not wait for it to stream. get it in the theater. You got to get it in the theater. This is one of those kind of movies. It's great.
I can't wait. Now, Lamar, you were hinting to me that there might be a third Dune movie.
Well,
is that what you're
because,
hearing?
Yeah, yes. Because there's still more. I mean, you know, because he wrote that other book. So there's this doesn't cover everything. But this finds a good stopping place. But there's still more to go. And if he can get the third one, he will. And I think this will do well. I really do.
I can't wait. All righty, Five Icy Buds. Keep it here for the comedians, the Lucas Brothers. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
So Lamar really enjoyed Dune 2 and gave it an incredibly great review and was telling us during the break about what one of the actors had to go through to play his part. I can't imagine. Describe, Lamar.
Well, Stellan Skarsgård, his role in this, he is just this big, humongous guy. I think he couched it as being like a rhino, but in human form, a rhinoceros in human form.
The Baron.
He's just huge.
Yes.
Yeah. And he's just, he would weigh well over 1,000 pounds in reality, I guess. The suit that they put him in, the body makeup, it took 8 hours to put it on and 2 hours to take it off for every day that they shot scenes with him in there. And when he had a scene that he had to shoot that day, he didn't drink anything and he took Imodium pills in order to avoid having to go to the bathroom. Because you got to figure that's a 10-hour span where he cannot do anything. He can't eat, drink, or go to the bathroom. And so, yeah.
I want you to imagine that a full work day spent having these latex things applied to you, and you can't move. You can't. I want you to imagine, Bob, you for 8 hours, you're not allowed to eat anything or drink anything or move. That would never
happen. This is what's kept me out of Hollywood. Yeah. This is what stopped my career.
This is somewhat reminiscent of, I don't know, the job I have right now.
It's very, well, I mean, Max could do it. Max could play the Baron. And you were saying he had to take Imodium so that
he took Imodium so he would not go to the bathroom. And it's good. Now, Austin Butler, and I mentioned this in the review, he is unrecognizable. When you look at him and you think about him as Elvis, it's just no way. But he had to gain 25 pounds of muscle to play the character.
He's also the star of a movie that I think is on Netflix. I was watching about Heroes of the Pacific, aviators in World War II.
Yeah,
you could see
a little
bit of the Elvis character in him there. You could
not
even hear it
one.
A little bit, but not in that one.
Something else that I found out was cool. The director, like if he has, a lot of places they'll make a cut for deleted scenes and they'll release deleted scenes. Hey, see deleted scenes. He never releases any deleted scenes. He said as soon as he takes them out of the movie, they're dead. He said, it's painful for me. He said, because everything that I shoot, I love. So when I cut it out, It kills me to cut it out. When I cut it out, I destroy it. Nobody ever sees them. Once he cuts them out, nobody. You can never see deleted scenes from any of his movies.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
If I were him, I would keep them and just, you know.
Nope, you don't want them. Don't want them.
I just can't imagine the claustrophobia of being encased in all of that rubber and latex and knowing that. And you said it takes 2 hours to get it off?
Just to get it off,
You know how sometimes, like, at the end of the day, you're just like, oh, I got to get this bra off and some comfortable shoes. I want you to imagine after 8 hours to get it on, and then you work, you know, you shoot your scenes, and then you have to sit there patiently for 2 hours before you can take a shower and go to the bathroom.
Wherever they're filming him, they've got to keep the air conditioning. Because he's got to be burning up in that thing.
I can't.
It's great. But the movie, it was just extraordinary. The scenes in the desert,
Is this one of those movies that they're going to say is going to bring back people going to theaters again? Because, you know, with Oppenheimer and Barbie, people were going back to theaters. And then I read nothing but negative articles about people going to movie theaters saying, that's over. People still don't want to go back to movie theaters. Is this one that is going to drag them back in and pump a little life into that business?
Well, number one, they've got a great fan base. And anybody that really wants to experience this, I got to tell you, you got to go to the movie. You got to go to the movie to do it. You just really do.
Yeah. I can't wait. But yeah, I couldn't do what Stellan Skarsgård did. I don't think I could tolerate that for 8 hours. I forget which actor it was, but they had to do like a latex face prosthetic, and they put a little straw in his mouth so that he could breathe. I want you to imagine hour after hour while you're sipping air through a straw.
Sherry, very quickly, you and I gave away pizza in front of a paint store in the winter with a remote, and we didn't make a couple of million dollars like the actors are making. So I think you could do it. I want you to remember that appearance. Do you remember that appearance?
That was a bad one. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a bad one. Yeah. And the sales executive looking at his watch and going, well, I got to move on. 30 right. seconds into the event. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe it would be better to be the Baron Draconian. It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Nissan.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here are the identical twin Lucas brothers.
Man, we got fired from my last job. It was about a year ago. But it was terrible, man, because they fired us at the same time. For the same exact reasons. It was crazy. And you don't want to get fired with your identical twin brother at the same exact time, you know what I mean? Because it's like not only are you getting fired, but it's kind of like you're watching yourself get fired in 3D. It's trippy, man. It's getting kind of tough to be twins on the street, though, man. It's getting crazy. You can't do trivial things. Nah, man, because people always come up to you and say weird twin questions, man. Like, we're in the supermarket the other day, you know, shopping for some Jell-O. And this dude, he walked up to us, and he asked us for a stick of double mint gum. It's very offensive, man. So we don't have any money, man. It's crazy. Yeah, it's getting tough these days, man. We did something we haven't done in a long time. We checked our bank account. It was pretty depressing, man. We had $3 in it, all right? Or at least we thought we did. We looked a little bit closer. It was $3 with the parentheses around it. Which apparently means something entirely different. Yeah, man. Apparently means we gotta pay the bank $3. And that threw us off, man, because when we first saw it, we thought the bank was trying to protect our last $3. But, a bit of a misunderstanding, yeah, I would say. But it's all good. Our mom gave us $6, so we're back at $3. It's cool, man. It's all straight. It's awesome. Our dad was most disappointed in us when he found out we got fired, which was kind of weird because the dude went to prison. I'm like, you can't really be disappointed at that point. But he ain't let prison hold him back, man. He did a lot of dope things in prison. He got his bachelor's degree in prison, actually. It's true. He was the first dude in our family to get his bachelor's degree in prison, so that's a good thing. Yeah, man. It's cool. But the only weird thing is he got his degree in philosophy, which, that's a terrible degree to get in college. Why would you get it in prison? Because it won't work in like practical prison situations, you know what I mean? Like a shank situation. It's true. Like a dude sneaks up on you, like, yo, I'm about to stab you, dog. Like, what are you gonna be like? Hey, man, How you know that knife is real? Won't work out. I don't see that working. Nah, not at all. We got a friend, he's a big fan of sports, but he's also a feminist.
Yes.
So he always tries to convince us to watch the WNBA. It's a little challenging, man. He always puts forth these arguments. He's like, yo, man, if they just got rid of the NBA, more people would watch the WNBA. Not how things work, man.
No,
not at all, man. Not at all. Because you can't get rid of something that's super dope and replace it with something that's not as dope. You know what I mean? Like a couple summers ago, you ain't hear nobody say, man, now that Michael Jackson's dead, I can finally listen to all this Jermaine Jackson. Not a soul. No one said it. No one said it. Not even Jermaine Jackson. It's true. But we play basketball a lot too, man. It's like crazy. We got a friend, he's like super arrogant. Says the same thing after every game. He's like, yo, if I was 7 inches taller, I think I'd be in the NBA. It's like, nah, dude, you just be a little bit taller. But it gets you to thinking, man. You think NBA players do the same thing in reverse? Like, do they talk about the things they would do if they were a little bit shorter? It's like water cooler talk, you know what I mean? Two NBA players go together like, yo, man, if I was 7 inches shorter, I think I'd get my college degree. Maybe. It's just a thought, man.
It's just a thought, you know?
So we do drugs. Not a lot of drugs.
It's mainly weed. You know, I think it's
probably like 97%
weed. 97%
weed.
We're trying to step our drug game up, you know, do some different stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
man. Like we did shrooms for the first time last week. It's crazy.
Yeah, if you ever decide to do shrooms, here's a rule of thumb. You should never do shrooms with a dude that looks like you.
You got it together, man. Thank you.
They are
the Lucas brothers.
So unique. Wow.
It is such a fun act. Like, you have to, like, they have their own everything, their
rhythm,
own pace, their own vibe. Yeah. They look exactly alike. And you can see that. We're going to post it right now at BOBANDSHERI.com. And hey, if you're kicking yourself because you missed the People's Movie Critics review of Dune 2, it's up there too. BobandSherry.com. This is Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at BobandSherry.com.
Kanye West has recently went on a charm offensive in Europe. He's trying to find arenas who would help him showcase his latest album, Vultures 1. But after approaching promoters in Madrid, Berlin, Cologne, Munich, the answer is absolutely no. He's also tested the water in Asia, Australia, and the Middle East, and he was met with the same thing, no. A music insider says it's going to be very, very hard for him to perform in Europe, despite maintaining a solid fan base. His reputation and the controversies in the last few years are the main reason. Almost no companies that manage arenas or stadiums want to allow him to do shows in their venues. Kanye has basically made himself virtually untouchable because he's had these online rants about like Jesus and Hitler and all this.
Right.
He's just saying crazy stuff all the time.
Right.
And he's got those pictures of his wife having her dressed like something crazy, naked, running around. They know that Kanye's presence and having him doing shows at a stadium can help him make a lot of money, but the risk and the image part is important for these arenas and the stadium owners. It's going to be really, really hard for Kanye to do shows in Europe. One tour manager was really shocked to see Kanye. He suggestively posted on his Instagram a list of 25 possible venues. The guy says that was the worst decision he could possibly do, to put that out there like that. These places would rather not make money than have Kanye perform a show. And
you know what
they
it really is?
You know what it really is? Europeans are very stylish. They just don't want somebody spreading those ugly-ass shoes all over Europe. That's, in my opinion.
It could be.
There's
He's got a problem. He's got a problem.
There's more fabric on those ugly shoes than his wife leaves the building in.
Yeah.
We forget that Kanye suffers from a chronic recurring serious mental health diagnosis, and it was all fun and games for everybody until he went dark and anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
And it's just, man, I've been saying this for years. Like, we need to stop giving these behaviors oxygen. He needs help.
Yeah,
of course, no one's going to let him play their venue. My God.
This is Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
It is talk back time. Now, there's a couple ways you can reach the show. You can always call us on the phone, old school, at 844-52-SHERI, or you can grab the free Bob and Sherry app, because with that, you can listen to the show every day and all of the podcasts. And of course, today we have a brand new episode of Talking Lamar called Slimed Again, about Ghostbusters, and a brand new True Weird Stuff. And you can also tap the little microphone in the bottom center of the screen and talk, and the app will do the rest.
Hey, y'all. This is Thea from Charlotte. Oh, my God. You cheap A blankety blanks. Bob and Doc, the only ones who are not cheap, cheap, cheap. Lamar, you could buy a tank of gas for $100. This poor guy makes $15 an hour if he's lucky, and he calls you up to tell you you're a millionaire, and y'all give him pittance. Are you mixed googe ducks? If I was that guy, I would tell everyone in town what cheap A's Cheryl Lynch is, Max and Lamar, and I would tell everyone. I can't believe it. Stand tall, Bob and Doc.
Well,
let me hear all of that.
Could we hear it again?
Girl, you have my blessing to put one of those digital animated billboards on the interstate telling everybody how cheap I am. Now, I will not see it because I will be in the desert of New Mexico living my
very best life.
But you go. And I have thought a lot about this conversation. And you know what? $3 million.
We need to reset it. We need to reset it for people who don't know. Exactly.
A guy won $3 million and he bought the lottery ticket at the gas station. He won $3 million on it. He didn't realize he'd won. And the clerk who works there, it's a small town, knew him and called him and said, "Hey, we have a winning lottery ticket here. You better check your ticket." And he checked it and it turned out he was the winner. And Bob's like, "I'm giving that clerk $100,000. And Lamar's like, "I ain't giving that clerk a nickel." And Bob's like, What are you giving the clerk? I've given this a lot of thought. $3 million is a lot of money. It is a fortune. But it's not a lot of money if you have a big family. And like my little niece, Violet, has Angelman syndrome. I'm not giving the clerk $100,000 because I'm giving that money to Violet. And that's great if you want everybody to talk about, like, "Oh, Bob is the most generous." You go ahead and put that digital billboard up calling me a cheap ass. I don't care.
Okay, that's a pretty good cover.
I'll never see it. I'll never see the billboard. I will never see it. I'll never hear from it. And if anybody wants to fuss at me, I'm sorry. They can't even call me because I'm not accepting calls. I got too much money. You know why? Because I'm swimming in my gold coins in my pool like Scrooge McDuck. I'm doing a backstroke in Krugerrands. That's what I'm doing.
Let me just say that the person that should be giving the employee money is not who won the lottery. It's the place of business that sold it, because they get a cut of the money. And they should be the ones, because they are the employer, to give the employee the money.
Yes.
Yeah, but the employee, he made sure the guy got the money. The guy may not have.
No, by the way,
this is the only show that has multiple references to Scrooge McDuck in the world. what were you going to say?
I'm going to say, he says, "Oh, wait a minute, this guy has won the lottery. Hey, let me call him and remind him, and it'll be like I'm helping him win the lottery, and maybe he'll duke me a little bit." So I do give him $100 and I keep moving. I'm not giving him $100,000. That's crazy. No.
Well, you can keep moving because, you know, there's not that much you're throwing back, you know?
I'm just saying.
$100 on $3 million. Really?
It's got nothing to do with $3 million. It's $100 for good customer service. Okay? You made a phone call.
Yeah, fair
it's
enough.
$100.
Fair enough.
I'm the guy that buys the M&Ms when I go to pee. I buy the M&Ms when I go to pee. Okay? All the convenience stores I've ever went to, I have never once relieved myself in a convenience store without buying something. I stand by that. And I don't
I
owe
love
anybody
a man.
More than $100.
Right. I love a man with principles. I respect
That's
that.
Right.
I
That's
too
right.
buy the M&Ms. I just think like it's great to be generous and sure, but you're under no obligation to give somebody that sold you a lottery ticket $100,000. Like, get out of here with that.
Hey, if you relieve yourself in the store, I would think you're going to have to do something. You might want to try the bathroom.
He buys a burrito, okay? If he can't make it to the door, why got to embarrass the man?
Scrooge McDuck could relieve himself and get out fast. He's not wearing no pants. That's four Scrooge McDuck references. That's a record.
We own that.
It's
we
Bob
own that
and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
We're sending teachers to Fort Myers Beach, Florida, and you can nominate a teacher to win that trip at bobandsherry.com. They're going to get a three-night stay at Margaritaville Beach Resort from Visit Florida, plus airfare and a car rental, and they'll join us for a live edition of the Oddcast, bobandsherry.com. They hauled the armorer for that Rust movie off to jail to serve. I think her name is Hannah Gutierrez Reed, and they found her negligent for allowing a live bullet to be in the gun that Alec Baldwin used on the set of the movie, which of course resulted in the terrible, tragic, accidental shooting death of the cinematographer, Helena Hutchins. So, and this trial went down in Santa Fe. The jury found her guilty. They acquitted her on evidence tampering charges. She took off her jewelry and handed her phone to a deputy and was walked straight to prison. And doesn't it feel like, wait, isn't there supposed to be, I don't know, like she's out on appeal or something? No, apparently not. And now Alec Baldwin has his turn in court in July for the involuntary manslaughter charges. But yeah, that just kind of took me aback. Like, yep, there she goes. She's off to prison. And then
does the judge
news,
have the power to decide whether or not somebody can be out on bail while they appeal?
Yes.
Or you go directly to jail? I guess the judge would have that.
I think there's a process. The sentencing wasn't later. Like with involuntary manslaughter, it's involuntary manslaughter. So nobody's saying, well, she's a danger to everybody around her. So I'm surprised there wasn't like a later sentencing date. And then she'd find out what the situation was about going to prison.
I was very surprised that following that story, that the entire world did not immediately say she is the guilty one. She is the one who was not doing her job. I mean, people were kind of walking around that, but that is why that person was killed. This woman was not looking inside the gun. You got one job. She was not looking to see if they were dummy bullets or live ammunition. And was very, from what I've read of stories, very cavalier about the whole thing.
That's this the problem, being cavalier. That's the problem.
Exactly.
You weren't supposed to have live ammunition on the set. You
on
deal
the
with
set.
Guns every
yeah.
This is not somebody that's never held a gun. Oh my gosh, please.
I mean, this whole case, if you remember this time last year, like I think it was April of last year, Alec Baldwin was charged with involuntary manslaughter. But then they dropped the charges. Then they recharged him, and he is standing trial for involuntary manslaughter in July. It's been so sad and confusing. But yeah, it did shock me that they just were like, all right, you're guilty. And they marched her off to begin her jail time. Now, let's talk about happier news.
She was not sentenced. I just wanted to clarify. There's going to be sentencing at a later date. She has other charges. One was tampering with evidence.
Yeah.
Because
they found
she
her not guilty
small bag
on
of,
that.
Yeah,
though.
She was
a small bag
of that.
Yeah, okay.
But there are other charges. And let's talk about happier news. Dakota Johnson and Chris Martin got engaged.
Who doesn't love love? They've been together for a very long time, and they have officially gotten engaged. So Chris Martin, of course, is the lead singer of Coldplay and the consciously uncoupled ex of Gwyneth Paltrow. And Dakota Johnson is, of course, among many other things, the star of 50 Shades of Grey. And isn't it nice to see romance and have a little happy news?
And don't forget this. She's the person. The lone person in the history of the world that can take down the Marvel Universe with one movie.
Madam Web. Yeah.
Madam Web. Ah! Terrible.
Almost without trying. Almost without any effort. She was able to unwind the Marvel Universe. Yes.
Do you think that we're reaching the point where the superhero movies maybe have peaked?
Oh, God, no.
Steven Spielberg says we're going to look back on this as an era. You know, like film noir was an era.
Steven Spielberg, who is he in the movie industry? What does he know?
That's true too. Yeah. That's true too. I've got something. You're talking about pop culture. I got something, and Lamar is absolutely going to hate this. I'm sorry, buddy, but you are. Oscar Mayer is unveiling plant-based hot dogs and sausages. They're calling it not hot dogs and not sausages. And the foods are designed
to... And not good. Just say not good. Just say not good.
I was waiting on that. Replicate a hot dog and a sausage. They're going to debut it at the Natural Products Expo in California, of course.
Listen,
and it rolls out nationwide.
Vegetables. I love vegetable-based salads. That's what I base my salad on, vegetables. I base my meat on meat. On things that were alive that are now dead and they're eating in my mouth. That's crazy.
That's the way to sell it.
When's lunch? Straight ahead.
Man.
Straight ahead. We think you won't be able to believe this. Turns out those three-fingered mummies. Well, let me just say, we got news and it's next. It's Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Easy Cater? Order food for your work at easycater.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
Believe this shit.
All right, on March 12th, which is in just a couple of days, a documentary filmmaking team will be revealing more evidence that they say confirms that the three-fingered mummified humanoids found in a Peruvian cave are real, and believe that the unknown DNA from the testing is proof of a new species. The DNA taken from these mummified three-fingered humanoid mummies is 30% unknown. So... and I'm bringing you this news because it's going to come out on March 12th, and now you'll have some context for it. And I have no idea what to think. This is not the alien mummies that were presented before Mexico's Congress last September. These were not the alien mummies that were analyzed and declared man-made dolls by Peruvian authorities just a couple of months ago in January. The filmmakers say, we're not saying that these are extraterrestrials. We think we have found a new species of early human, which if you think about like what we know about like from the fossil record, and there is a missing link. There's like a weird gap where ... and then modern humans. So is it possible that they have found like a remnant hominid? Who knows? But it's super fascinating. One of the filmmakers said, of course, there's always a slight chance it could be from somewhere else. And how cool is that? But we're not saying that. We say that further DNA testing is needed. But we do know that these beings were not physically constructed by humans. These are not fakes or frauds. And they said, we will be presenting this incredible evidence on Tuesday, March 12th, along with images, live testing with science, and reports from scientists who have tested it. There are scientists coming from America, the USA, Mexico, who are going to present their interpretation. The entire thing is going to be live streamed March 12th at noon. And who knows, right? Now, the one thing that they did say that I think is controversial and that will grab people's attention. So when they ran the DNA on these mummified beings, and let's pause for a moment and go, wow, isn't it amazing that they were able to extract DNA?
Totally.
I mean, I want you to think about that. Those of you that have murder in your hearts this weekend, please remember that if they can extract DNA from thousands and thousands year old mummified things they found in a cave in Peru, you are going to jail for murder. So put the knife down, Karen, okay? DNA, it is remarkable they were able to extract DNA. Now, here's the part where I think it's going to jump the tracks and go super weird. The DNA testing that they've done, the geneticists who've looked at the DNA said that it looks engineered. Now, that's the word that they used. What that means, couldn't say. But these are scientists who work with DNA.
Engineered? And were they intimating engineered by a higher power?
They didn't intimate. They just said the DNA, the 30% of this DNA that is completely unknown to us, completely unfamiliar. Mm-hmm. The way that, I guess, the chromosomes are arrayed looks engineered. It doesn't look random or natural. Like the human genome has a ton of what we call junk DNA in it. We call it junk because we don't know what purpose it serves, which is kind of nuts. We should just call it unknown and not just decide that it's junk. But we call it junk DNA. And it's super randomized. And that's why we call it junk DNA. It looks like you pulled open a junk drawer. But these scientists are saying this DNA doesn't look like that. This looks, and the word they used is engineered. I have no idea what any of this means. And I'm not telling you that this is anything other than on Tuesday, March 12th, this stuff is going to be live streamed around the world. And maybe it's a great big nothing burger. Maybe it isn't. Because as long as we are alive and moving forward, we are always right on the verge of an incredible discovery that moves the ball forward for humanity. This could be one of these moments, or it could be nothing.
Al Capone's vault.
Yep.
Yeah.
But Tuesday, March 12th, when your social feeds light up with this, you'll be ahead of the game because you'll have context and you'll know what you're seeing and hearing. And we'll see.
Well,
but one thing is for sure,
some of the family
they
members
aren't fake.
In my life, it would explain that.
It's going to be real interesting. We are living in such dramatic times, that's for sure. I'm going to post this up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook so that you can take a look at it. And then let's see what happens on March 12th. It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
Tony Soprano was last seen eating onion rings and listening to Don't Stop Believin' while sitting in a red restaurant booth. TV sets across the world abruptly cut to black, and fans of The Sopranos have been debating the mafia's fate, his fate, ever since. The scene became so well known that the booth turned into a tourist attraction at a Bloomfield, New Jersey restaurant. Since 2007, fans have visited Holston's ice cream shop where HBO filmed the final scenes while he was snacking onion rings sitting in that booth. Holston's employees and customers saw their time with the booth fade to black because the booth was on the brink of breaking apart. I mean, it was wearing out. So co-owner Christopher Carley said, "Let's just put it on eBay." He said, "If I didn't have to do it, I wouldn't, but I have to." After 238 bids, it sold for $82,600. The booth from the final scene was installed at Holston's in 1973. In the early 2000s, Carley said an HBO location scout asked to check out the restaurant for a possible scene in The Sopranos. Carley, who had been a big fan of the show, thought, "Oh man, this is great." He was very excited. So the location scout shot a few pics, but Carly didn't hear anything from HBO until the end of 2006. The show's producers had decided to film the final scene at Holston's. Holston's closed for a few days in March, and about 120 crew and cast members filled the restaurant for a couple of days. In the months after the episode premiered, Carly said Holston's was packed with customers, and although the restaurant has always served onion rings, they became one of Holston's most popular items after Tony called them the best in the state in the finale. $82,000.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yes, it is.
This is Bob and Sherry.
Use the Talk Back feature.
Talk Back feature
on the free Bob and Sherry app and leave us a message.
Well, you know what this weekend is, of course. It's spring forward, daylight savings time. And Saturday night, 2 a.m., go ahead and push your clocks forward and lose that hour of sleep. I do too. Lamar, even for the extra daylight, it takes me, and always has, even when I was a kid, it takes me forever to level off after daylight savings time. Do you suffer with it?
I don't suffer so much on that one as I do the one we just got, you know, one we're coming out of. About it getting dark so early? You know,
so that the extra hour is more of a problem for you than losing an hour.
Yes. Now, the night that I lose it, I feel like my life is a disaster. The idea that I'm giving up, as much as I love sleep. I mean, I crave it. I love sleep more than food. And I can't believe I'm saying that out loud. I love sleep. I'm the guy that if I set my alarm for 4 o'clock and I wake up at 3:58, I turn over and go back to sleep because I will not get up. I love to sleep. So when I have to, and when we turn that clock back and I'm going to bed on Saturday night and it's like a vacation for me. I just love it.
And you know, you got that extra hour. Mm. We go forward. I think this year we go forward on November. I want to say November 3rd is what I read. So here's the thing that's so frustrating for me. They have this thing called the Sunshine Protection Act, which would end daylight savings time. We would have standardized clocks. There are places that don't even change their clocks. So it's really chaotic, right? So we would have standardized time all across the United States. It passed the Senate in 2022. It was unanimous. I can't believe in America today, as divided as we are, that I could get a unanimous vote for puppies are fun. There'd be somebody who voted against puppies.
No, they're not.
But they,
unanimous
vote for daylight savings time. And then it went to the House. And that's where it stalled. And it seemingly cannot get past the House. And you know why that is, folks. Because there are some corporate entities with a vested interest in springing forward and falling back. And they're giving our elected officials money to stall the Sunshine Protection Act.
See, I just wonder what is the appeal for that in the corporate structure? What does it do? I don't know. I mean, you would think
you would think everybody would be cool with it state does this.
The only thing that I see as a negative is that it's so dark in the morning when kids are going to school. That's the only thing about this where I say I'm not so sure about that. Especially if you're living farther north, it's dark longer.
It's really dark. Yeah. Like it might get dark all the way up on the main Canada border. Like it gets dark before 4 o'clock in the afternoon, in the heaviest part of winter. I hear that and I get it. My kids, their school bus came at 6:50 in the morning. That's so early. But then again, you know, in America, like we have reams and reams and reams of data pointing to the fact that children's school days should not start that early, especially high school, because the kids are just like fogged out and can't even learn. And we don't pay that any mind. You know, that gets no attention whatsoever.
Yeah, nobody cares.
So,
about that. You're right.
Yeah, the daylight savings time, I always feel for, I'm fascinated by the people who live on the border of a state that's a different time zone, and then here comes daylight savings time. The constant daily math
that you have to do. Like, my mom lives in Mountain Time, but Vegas is in Pacific Time. My mom is in the Vegas backyard. Like, you can, I mean, it's nothing to go from Vegas to my mom's house. Do you know, until smartphones were invented, where you could look at different cities, what time it was in different cities all around the world on your phone, the amount of math and stress that I would do to make sure I didn't miss a flight because of the time zone. And I did. I missed a flight one time because I got my math all jacked up because I can't do math. How amazing would it be to be straddling time zones and then have one state do daylight savings time and then one doesn't? At that point, do you just give up and stay home because you can't get to work? You don't even know what time to go to work.
It's that happened to us when we went to Yuma. When me and Bob went to Yuma, we got confused and we didn't miss the plane, but we was up 2 hours too early for the plane.
Yeah.
So it screwed us in opposite because we wasn't sure because Arizona never changes. They stay the same at all times.
That's why I'm so glad for my iPhone because I just plug the name, like whatever town I'm in, and then I just keep checking the time to make sure I know when to get up or not get up for the airport.
That's right,
folks, this is the night, Saturday night, springing those clocks forward. It's Bob and Sherry.
Here's Bob and Sherry with Charlie King and the Zippy Zodiac.
What mayhem do the stars have in store for us this week? Take it away, Charlie.
For Aries, it's a time of errands, like booking a wellness evaluation or another necessary life check-in point. And some of these tasks may bring you in closer contact with relatives and face-to-face with a family misunderstanding. This week, you'll just have to grin and bear it. For Taurus, expect remarkable results and returns on your investments. This is all because of your hard-working efforts bringing you to new heights. Just be mindful of maintaining your positive mindset, especially in the workplace, because a colleague having a bad day may direct it at you, so don't take it personally. Gemini. This week, navigating the time might be a puzzle, and there could be occasional mix-ups in text messages or emails. So double-check who you're sending or saying things to, because a personal message sent to the wrong individual could cause a bit of a twist and require some rectification this week.
I'm on it.
Okay.
For Cancer. Cancer, you're going to have this elevated imagination that invites you to daydream more. And a side effect of kind of having your head in the clouds is diminished focus. So just make the most of your more whimsical mindset and explore unusual concepts, different philosophies, and even something like yoga for your own personal growth. For Leo, a recent setback may have actually been a setup for a big, resilient comeback in your life. Just steer clear of obsessing over something or lingering on things that feel like nightmares, and try to remind yourself that even though you are gorgeous, a change of direction isn't always pretty. For Virgo, embrace a bustling workspace with positive spirit. Adjust your routine to tackle a possibly bigger than usual workload. And overcoming misunderstandings will be a breeze for you this week, thanks to your articulation skills. You're going to pick just the right words to keep naysayers or enemies or competitors at bay, probably rendering everybody speechless.
Wow, that is quite, for Doc and Heather and Bob, all Virgos, that is quite a week ahead. I can't wait. What's Libra got going on?
Libra, there are legal or general paperwork dealings that might be under a cloud of confusion this week. So just leave it to the professionals to worry about. Try not to take everything too seriously or personally. And remember that somehow it always seems to work out in the end. For Scorpio.
Here it comes. Here it comes.
This week may actually be the start of things pivoting away from the edge of uncertainty and intensity that you have been like involuntarily perched on. There is a big surprise arriving through someone else. You have to work really hard to shed some stress and let go of disappointments and try your best to pave the way for a journey filled with more positivity and resilience. This is building you up to be stronger.
So a big surprise doesn't necessarily mean it's a good thing. It's just a big surprise.
That builds resilience.
I've had too many of those in my life.
Max, I've found that if the surprise is building resilience, it's not a cake. It's not going to be good.
I hate when I say, I'm so glad this happened because it made me a better person. It just was while it was happening that it was a problem.
Wow. All right, Sagittarius.
For Sagittarius, embrace the unexpected. In your home space and with appliances, there may be some excitement or annoyance, and it could be leaky pipes or an appliance problem or just some kind of healthy debate that you need to have. Consider it a shakeup of your comfort zone for the purpose of getting you into a fresh change in all of your living space, life space, and professional spaces.
Well, I don't know about Tony Garcia's a Sagittarius, and I don't know about his appliances, but he ordered a ton of new audio equipment for us and had it shipped to my house, where the delivery person arrived sometime in the night and left it out in the rain. And I can tell you one thing about audio equipment. It's kind of like that cake in the Donna Summer song. You can't leave it out in the rain. You just can't. And now, I don't have a lot going on, what with my husband being immobilized from surgery, Charlie. So now I get to unpack all the wet, soggy audio gear and get it returned to the shipper. Hallelujah. Because, you know, I was looking for a surprise that would build resilience too, just like Scorpio. All right, let's go to Capricorn.
For Capricorn, you need to take a moment for self-care amidst any kind of hiccups in life that you've been going through. The power of the mind to heal the body and the experience is really strong, and you're basically being asked to slow down. Don't fret if communications and conversations get a bit tangled this week. The universe is kind of purposely drowning out any external noise. Clear communication is around the corner, but only after you put yourself first.
Well, I guess there won't be clear communication then, because I can't put myself first. I have two boxes of soggy microphones that I have to get returned to the shipper. How's it going for Aquarius this week?
For Aquarius, amidst a moment of financial or even resource fuzziness, where life is just costing an arm and a leg, be cautious of scams and lean on your close-knit circle for a second opinion if needed. Don't let life's woes, like aging or time passing by quickly, cloud your vibe, because brighter days with more freedom are ahead. And for Pisces, you may feel kind of fuzzy this week, and it's just your heightened sensitivity playing tricks, creating a vague sense of unease. Don't worry, because there is no real cause behind it. Embrace positivity and maybe skip anything that makes you feel out of sorts, like that extra glass of wine.
That's okay, Pisces. You just slide that extra glass right across here, girl. There you go. Oh, got it. Thank you. We're going to get this posted up at bobandsherry.com and on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. And it sounds like there's quite a week ahead for all of us. Really looking forward to it. Thank you so much, Charlie. You have an awesome weekend. This is Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
That thing that Bob was just talking about, how to be a less awful person, reminded me of something I saw on Reddit just recently. And I like shooting to be less awful.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's achievable.
There are some people, they're not even interested in being better. Mm-hmm. You know, like they're terrible and they're not interested at all in being better. But maybe they could take a step into being just one bit less awful.
That's right. That's an improvement, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
So I was on Reddit the other day and I was reading this thread about really amazing acts of kindness that total strangers did for people.
Mm-hmm.
And here's one of them that I couldn't stop thinking about. The person, the Redditor who posted it said, I was taking a bus home from Arkansas to California. It takes about 40 hours. I was 23.
I got to tell you, that's rough living.
Let's just all pause here and imagine 40 hours on the Hound from Arkansas to California. So this person writes, I was 23 and I contracted chickenpox, which is very, very bad. Mm. And I came down with the symptoms during that 40-hour bus ride.
Mm.
Okay, now, if you didn't think 40 hours on the hound was bad, now you're 40 hours on the hound with chicken pox. High fever, I was starting to break out, body aches, swollen throat.
He's also infecting the Greyhound passengers.
But he didn't know he had the chicken pox. He came down with it on the 40-hour bus ride. He said, in Texas, we picked up a bunch of dudes who had just been released from prison. They took over the back of the bus. They made a spot for me to lie down on the back seats. They gave me Tylenol and whiskey and tea and took care of me all the way to California.
Wow. And those guys just got released
from
prison?
They were newly released inmates in Texas.
Wow. How about that?
Just shows you can't judge people by what they look like.
Man, that's something. That's very impressive.
Can you imagine 40 hours sick in a Greyhound with inmates nursing you?
That is just a nightmare.
That's an experience that would stay with you for the rest of your whole life.
Those guys knew that they might get whatever it was. They probably didn't know it was chicken pox, but they probably felt this guy's got something. We're probably going to get if we're helping him here.
Isn't that? It just
and they
shows
still did.
You, what's the expression about entertaining angels unaware? You'll know it, Max. There's a famous.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just never know who's going to be the person to reach out to you with kindness.
That's right.
But to be that sick, what's the longest bus ride you've ever been on?
I went from Charlotte to New Orleans. So a lot of that was, through rural parts of Alabama, Mississippi, that I had never been before. And it was an experience. And I wanted to see a Mardi Gras. And I was 22 or 23. And the car that I had at the time wasn't good enough, I thought, to make it all the way. I didn't have enough money for a plane ticket. And what I remember most was I was so broke at that time that I didn't have any luggage that was like real luggage, right? And someone who was working with me at the time, I was talking to them about it. I said, I just need to go out and get like a small suitcase or something. They said, I got something that'll work. And they brought in a bowling bag where you would put your bowling ball. Yes. And it was the same color as bowling shoes, like that weird multicolored green. And
wait, you didn't know anyone that owned a suitcase?
I didn't. No one offered or anything. And so I looked at it and I went, that's a right about the right size. And in my mind, I was saying to myself, I'm just the coolest guy ever. I'm going to be on Bourbon Street. This is where I walked up to that bar because I didn't drink at that time. But I felt, I'm in Bourbon Street. And there was an open bar where they had oysters.
Yeah.
And the guy said, what are you drinking? And I said, I don't know. I said, I looked up at the menu. I'll have a champagne cocktail. Now I got the bowling bag next to me on a seat. This guy went home to his wife and said, you won't believe this.
Everybody saw you coming.
I got off the bus right there near Royal Street in New Orleans with the bowling bag.
You looked like you were 12. So what we have is he went home and told his wife, I came across a teen runaway today.
Right.
Drinking a champagne cocktail on Bourbon Street.
I'll tell you how much I've changed. I wanted to see New Orleans because I'd never been anywhere, at all. And I wanted just to see some famous places. And New Orleans was one of them. I stayed as the guest of somebody I knew in Charlotte, their brother or sister, out in the suburbs of New Orleans. Now, you know me.
You don't like staying at other people's houses.
I don't, but I didn't have enough money for a hotel. I had enough for a round-trip ticket on the bus. And I spent like 2 or 3 days there. And they drove me in, dropped me off so I could hear the music.
You hate this.
I know. That's how much I wanted to do that, to have an experience and go back on the radio.
Aren't you glad you did it, though? Aren't you glad you packed your bowling bag and got on the hound?
The quote you wanted?
Yeah.
Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
There you go. See, so if you have the chicken pox on the Greyhound for 40 hours and the inmates offer to take care of you, say yes.
Yeah.
Because you don't know.
And if you see a young lad with a bowling bag
and a champagne cocktail,
don't say anything to him. All right?
He's embarrassed enough.
Right.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
Emily Kelly, 30, gave birth to George in the chilly winter air at the car park of Queen Alexandra Hospital in Portsmouth, Hampshire. Get a special nod to this unusual birth. She thought she would give him the middle name of Parker. Get it?
Aww.
In the park, yeah, in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miss Kelly's water broke just as she stepped out of her car outside the hospital. And she said her baby George was coming and there was no stopping it. The mother of six said the amazing staff at the hospital were quick to come out and deliver George. They kept her calm during the very scary experience. George became known by the hospital staff as Little Car Park George. Describing the unexpected birth, the Portsmouth mother said, "I was just across the zebra crossing from the entrance to the hospital, right there, right where you pay for the car parking. My mom rang the ambulance and they were quick to come on out. But when they turned up, I obviously was happy to see him and I thought I might be able to make it to the hospital. But the midwife told me his head was already out. They had to lay me back down there for the delivery. They rushed him straight to the hospital and I followed shortly behind him. This is my sixth baby, so I kind of just tried to ignore it, but I'm glad I didn't as far as the pain goes. My mom took me down, and the pain started to get a little bit worse in the car. We arrived at the hospital. I took four steps, and my water broke. And he was basically coming, and there was no stopping it. Their quick actions in getting out to me when they did, and the security guards that came out to help, all of them were absolutely amazing. She is laying on the actual pavement sidewalk giving birth to this baby.
If this happened to you outside a hospital in America, don't you feel like you would get billed as though you had given birth in the labor and delivery unit?
Of course.
I do too.
Of course. Here's my question. 30 years old, six kids. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Girl got a lot of energy. She does. I like how she said, "It was my sixth baby. I was trying to ignore the pain." Women are amazing sometimes.
What a trooper. This is Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.